And we're back. Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 3 of the Elegant Affairs podcast. We've got some special guests today joining us. First off, we've got Morgan here. She's one of our wedding day assistants.
Hello, everybody.
So Morgan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oy vey, where do I begin? My name's Morgan, but everyone who knows me pretty well calls me Mo. I was born and raised from Las Vegas, and here I am in Washington, and I absolutely love it here.
Well, perfect. Well, we're very excited to have you part of the team this season, and can't wait to see what all you do.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it, too. I have some tricks up my sleeve.
Ooh, I like that. That's great. And our first special guest for our podcast ever is KJ, and he is a world-renowned DJ extraordinaire, so I'll let him introduce himself.
Hello, ladies. Yeah, my name is Kevin, and I go by KJ, or the DJ name is DJ Heavy Kev, and I'm from Tacoma. Been here since I was 8 years old. Was in the Air Force active duty. Now I'm a reservist, college student, and yeah, basically a Renaissance man.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah. Another great thing about KJ is he was actually Lindsay and Andrew's DJ from their October wedding. And we also have Andrew, quick shout out on the back. There you go. Perfect. So Kevin, why don't you kind of tell us a little about kind of your role that you play with weddings and kind of what's your forte when you DJ?
Okay. Well, I like to, when it's weddings, I know it's a big deal and people have tight schedules. So I like to get in and meet with the couples maybe 2 months out. Mm-hmm. That way, okay, we have a plan. Because I know a month out it's going to change. So that's fine. But at least we've established, you know, hey, where do you want me to be? What kind of microphones do you need? Things like that. What kind of music do you want? What kind of music don't you want? Because it's not rocket science. You know, it's just playing music. But there's also, you know, I'm going to be the MC usually as well. So I kind of want to have a soft script of what do you want me to say when, how to direct traffic and so on. So
right. Now, what do you think is kind of your major highlight that you do when you do weddings?
Major highlight for me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's like for Lindsay and Andrew, I guess I've only done one wedding that wasn't friends of mine, right? They are friends of mine. So it was kind of like, I was excited when they asked me, you know, and I knew exactly what kind of music they were into. So I took that seriously and I was like, okay, from beginning to end, like I'm not going to script what I'm going to do step by step, but I have this good game plan of like, I want to string together this type of music and just create this atmosphere that they're going to really dig. And I think it worked out. They said it did. So.
Oh yeah.
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 You got to let everybody on the dance floor, including Andrew.
Yeah.
He at one point
included everything that we love and also like fan favorites. Kind of mixed it up so that it was not only the type, he included the type of music we love throughout, but he also threw in like surprises here and there, so to kind of get the crowd going and not necessarily the stereotypical shout and Macarena and all that stuff that everybody
I think I missed shout. I played some of there's wedding classics you have to, but oh, I feel yeah. like at the end of the night I was like, oh, did I play shout?
I think
everyone loves shout.
We were kind of unique in that situation. I kind of requested not to have those.
Yeah.
Because I think it's some of it's a little played out. Yeah. I don't love the Macarena.
Debatable.
You know, yeah. There are some of the, I think you played, what's the other one?
Probably Cupid Shuffle.
Yeah, you did that. We were on the dance floor for that.
And that one's okay. I'm okay with that, you know.
But that's all, see, the info that I like is, you know, beforehand, tell me what you do like or what you don't like. I had a party tell me they didn't want to have any Beyonce. And I was like, who doesn't want Beyonce? In my head, I'm like, who doesn't want Beyonce?
Don't invite me to that wedding.
Yeah. But, and it was, to be fair, it was an awesome wedding. But they had it in a barn, which is really cool. It was out in Squim. Really nice place.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I totally would have played Single Ladies at some point. You know, that right. makes sense at the, you know, when it's like, oh, let's just do the garter toss, you know?
Oh,
that
yeah.
makes sense. But, or the bouquet, I guess. You don't yes. toss a garter. I don't know what you do with it.
No, you fling it.
Slingshot it,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, slingshot it. There you go.
Right. So that's kind of my thing. I'm big into music. So when people are like, hey, I want this and I don't want that, I take it seriously and I try to craft a good sound for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say is your biggest piece of advice for couples looking to hire a DJ?
I don't know. I would say hire me probably is number one.
Of course.
Yeah, just look me up and hire me. But also, my sister, she is a part of a wedding right now, and she's been to different expos and things like that. I don't know much about that world, to be honest, but she kind of told me like, hey, what do you charge and how? Because she went to the expo and there's a DJ who had all this stuff itemized and it ended up being like $2,000. And I was like, are you kidding? Because up until now, after you guys, I was like, I'm going to charge $1,000 because I know it's way undercutting what most DJs charge.
Yeah.
But up until then, I was charging $500 just because I'm like, I brought everything to the table I need, you know, I'm set. And I would just look at that. Don't settle for, you know, maybe a big name. I know there's big names that charge big money, but at the end of the day, it's just a guy or girl who's going to come and play music for you. So.
And I think that's the one area too, that when we're meeting with couples, that there's such a wide range of pricing for DJs. And so I think you made the excellent point is look at what they're bringing to the table and, you know, how their speaking voice is and how they're going to relate to the crowd. Cause I think, you know, you can get a DJ that costs, you know, $3,000 to $4,000 that may not get the same crowd energy as somebody that's, you know, more cost effective for those, you know, those brides that do want to have a DJ versus an iPod.
Right. Right.
So kind of what's your debate, your side on the DJ versus the iPod? Because we're starting to see that more where couples are going toward the iPod and saving money that way.
Right. I could see the want to do something like that. Hey, we'll save a couple of bucks here. But I mean, if you start, I guess, like I said, I'm not a part of that, you know, planning world. But outside looking in, if you start cutting corners with things like that, you're going to overall not be happy with the results is what I would say. Okay. So to relate it just to iPods versus DJs, I mean, the iPod is like, well, you've got to think about what that means. Somebody has to work it. That means somebody's not, you know, you can pretend like you're going to have the massive playlist that starts from beginning to end of the wedding and that's it. Somebody's going to have to eventually man it and control it. Who's that person going to be? Now they're not a part of the wedding having fun, you know? So it kind of, a DJ takes some of that guesswork out of things and just lets somebody who's, you know, third party, not really part of the wedding, just gets to do their job. And you can tell them, hey, cut the music here, or we want to do this toast and somebody's got to speak, give us a microphone, you know? So I would rather, if I'm planning a wedding, rather have somebody who's in control of that stuff rather than having to, you know, assign somebody to say, hey, can you do this for us real quick as a favor during our wedding?
Yeah. Right. Definitely. And I think it, you know, there's some venues that, you know, you can plug in an iPod in, but you know, most venues, they're not equipped to have that. So you're having to bring in, you know, sound equipment and having somebody that knows how to set it up and how to run it. So mm-hmm. I think that's a big thing for, you know, with us that, you know, we'll work with, you know, an iPod and we've run an iPod before, but I think just kind of the ease and the flow of a wedding reception. And, you know, if you do ceremony music, it's having that DJ that's kind of there to really just run everything, which is nice for us as wedding planners.
I guess I do have one example then real quick is, so the first wedding I ever did, I did that had that initial meeting. We met a couple of times and had dinner, the bride and groom and I. And I don't know, I didn't pay attention to it then, but the one detail was, oh, you know what? We'll let you pick whatever music you want, minus Beyonce, and you play it when you get there. But we'll take care of the bridal march, is that what it's called?
Yes.
And like there's a couple of songs in the beginning. They were like, we'll just take care of that. We'll put it on the iPod and play it in the house speakers and, you know, out on the lawn. Mm-hmm. So I get there and the groom takes me to the back room and I'm all set up in the barn ready to go. And he's scrolling through his phone and I see his hand just start shaking because he does not have the songs. Two jobs to have these two songs on there for, I guess, the wedding party and the bride to march out to. Didn't have it. But because we met already, I had that stuff with me.
That's great.
So I came back, you know, I ended up, I had to take my laptop out of the DJ setup and go inside, press play and, you know, but it saved the day. And they were
Hey-o.
Like, it took a lot of the stress off for me, you know, because it was like, oh God, I just saved the day. So they were like, dude, that was awesome. But had they had it their way, it would have been a nightmare. So
from now on, you should introduce yourself. DJ Heavy Kev coming in hot, saving the day.
I should. I do wear a cape now when I do weddings. So people know.
Well, of course. I'll
like Phoenix Jones.
Yeah. We'll look out for that. Anything else you want to add about DJing or just, you know, in general, just music for wedding or receptions, cocktail hour, pre-cocktail hours?
If you're telling your DJ, you know, hey, this is what I want. This is just be sure it's what you want to hear, you know, and don't be afraid to say, don't play this. Because from a DJ's perspective, I'm thinking, because I've had those times where I know the bride doesn't want to hear something or she does want to hear a song or the groom. So I will or won't play it. And then inevitably someone comes up like, can you skip this song? Or can you not play this? And I'm like, ultimately, it's not about you. It's about the bride and groom. So no, this is going to happen.
Good.
I'm playing that, you know, so, don't forget, especially if, I mean, if you're with me, especially let me know what you want. It's your day. So I'll tailor that part of it the best that I can, because I want it to be fun, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think too, music, you know, really makes or breaks your event. You know, if you're having a really lively event and the music or the MC just isn't getting the crowd going, you're going to have people leaving and your event's going to end early. So I think, you know, whoever that person or persons is that making sure that they're exactly who you want, that's going to represent you guys as a couple to, you know, get that crowd going and staying through the whole party.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of queuing and timing and emceeing that people don't realize goes on, especially with like the processional and the wedding march. Like things are a certain amount of time. And if you don't, if you have someone just working an iPod and they're not paying attention, they're, you know, the processional comes through with the bridal party and they don't realize that it's, you know, you gotta fade that song out and to get into the next song for the bride. Like some of that stuff can't just be done with an iPod.
Yeah.
Right. It takes more of a professional, or at least someone with some music experience to kind of know. So I think that's my two cents on the difference between a DJ and iPod. I think you might be able to get away with it in the reception.
Yeah.
But I think as far as like cocktail hour and the ceremony and things, you kind of need someone to keep things going. And maybe even for the reception too.
That's sure.
My two cents on that.
Yeah.
I agree. That human element is key, because ultimately you are the mood setter. You are the one keeping it hot. You're the one bringing the energy, setting the mood and the vibe. I mean, last thing you'd want is the bride walking down and then we're accidentally playing Pour Some Sugar on Me because Aunt Fanny's over there on the iPod. No,
right.
You need some DJ Heavy Kev up in there.
That's right. Poor Aunt Fanny. She tries her best, but she's no substitute for Heavy Kev. So.
Well, perfect. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. We love it. We love having special guests, and you know, feel free to step on in. And if there's anything that if you want to add to the conversation, we're now talking about wedding day etiquette. We've got a lot of questions, and as we're really starting the summer wedding season, which is hard to believe that June is almost upon us, and you know, we're meeting and finalizing with our clients, and you know, there's questions that. You know, they're like, you know, is this okay to do this? And, you know, my biggest piece of advice is, you know, when I tell clients is this is your wedding. This is not about anybody else. This is not about what mom and dad want. This is not about what your bridal party wants. This is about you and your bride and or your groom. So I think the biggest question that we get is the dreaded plus one. Because that's the big thing is, you know, how many times that when you're sending out your invitations that you have a single friend, whether it's a lady or a fella that, you know, may not have a significant other, but you want to feel like they're included and know somebody. And so my general rule of thumb with that is it's not like they're not going to not know anybody else for a wedding. They're going to bound to know somebody besides the bride and groom. And, you know, you're going to save money by not having somebody bring an extra person that you never met before. And you're like, oh, I'm glad we spent $75 in a head, you know, per head, and I don't even know who this person is. Lindsay, what for your wedding, what was kind of your thought with the plus one?
We were kind of lucky in the aspect we don't have a lot of single friends. So we kind of knew ahead of time that there was maybe a handful of people that wouldn't have a date or significant other. And then in that case, if there is those few single friends, we knew most of them knew our other friends and they all got along. So it wasn't. So we would just send the invitation to that person only.
Good.
Same as with people with kids. We just didn't address it to the entire family. It's just the people invited. And then we kind of left it to them to sort of ask us personally. Like, I think that's huge. Like, if you are only dating somebody for like 2 months and you want to bring them, run it by the bride and groom.
Yes.
Say, do you have room for this person? Can I bring a date?
Yes.
And I think we only had one person that was like new in a relationship that wanted to bring somebody. So we were kind of lucky in that aspect that we didn't have a lot of weird extras. But I think I kind of had a rule. If you're not serious with somebody.
Yeah.
Then and you're not part of the bridal party, don't be asking to bring randoms.
Yeah.
Unless you run it by the people whose wedding it is and see if they have room or can afford that extra person.
Exactly. And I think that's why the response cards are huge, that you like what Lindsay said, is you're addressing it to that person or persons you're inviting only. And so, if, you know, if you get those response cards back and you say, okay, Joe Schmo is bringing him and his kids and his wife and the neighbor down the street, that you're following up and having saying, you know, unfortunately, we'd love to invite all these people, but, you know, space allows. That's kind of my general rule of thumb. You say, the space only allows a certain amount of people. And that kind of leads it to, you know, kids. That's the other question is, we're starting to see a lot more of adult only affairs and, you know, venues that, you know, really don't cater to kids. And bride and grooms just say, you know, we don't have kids. A lot of our friends, if they do have kids, they're babies, or they're in the age where, you know, they may be a little bit more interactive, put it that way, at weddings. So, you know, I think that's the big thing, is it really figure out your guest count right away and figure, you know, is it going to be adult only? Are you going to allow for the plus ones? But, you know, don't feel like you're going to hurt anybody's feelings by inviting somebody or not inviting somebody, and just, you know, just being open and honest with them. But I think, you know, if they're truly, you know, really good friends, they'll come to you and say, you know, oh, I'd love to bring my kid. I won't have a babysitter, or, you know, I just started dating this girl. I think she's the one. But it's that follow up. And, you know, sometimes you get in those situations where somebody might just bring a kid where a babysitter falls through or something. And it's just, you know, for us, just being adaptable and adding an extra chair, and just being ready for anything. I think too, another question I got when I was meeting with our New Year's Eve couple is the idea of favors. And I know we kind of touched upon it the last episode. You know, for me, I think it's one of those things where, unless you're dying to have something at your wedding, really think about the cost and the time putting these favors together. If it's a homemade craft, if it's, you know, a candy, if it's, you know, something, you know, at my wedding, we did CDs. Granted, this was 2003. So yeah. Everybody was doing, you know, your favorite, you know, mix of songs. And so, you know, those were kind of the hit back then.
Lori, you know, you have to call out a few of those songs now, right?
Oh, well, you know, get the basics. You know, we had our first dance, which is, It's Your Love by Tim McGraw at the time. Everybody loved that. And aww. Faith Hill, Fools Rush In from Elvis, of course. Aww. A Beatles song. We had an O-Town song. Please don't hate me. But, you know, things like that, you know, that was the hit. Everybody did a CD. But now, and I tell people, really think if you want to have a favor. I think to me, the best favors right now are if you do a photo booth. And Lindsay and Andrew, perfect example. They had an amazing photo booth, and that was your favor. And I think it was great because it was a take home, and then they got a strip of their photos, and then Lindsay and Andrew got a USB of all their photos that they can look back the night and say, oh, and people did have a lot of fun.
Post everybody's antics on Facebook and see what people were doing when we weren't around. That's kind of a memory instead of a kitschy thing that costs you a bunch of money that's sort of only half the people take home. I think favors are sort of going away,
yeah,
in a sense. I think they're sort of, I don't know, I'm not one for clutter, so I'm not a big fan of them. I think a lot of people spend a lot of time putting them together, and then you end up, the bride and groom take them all home and try to find a way to get rid of them. So make it memorable or don't bother, because you can spend the money on something better.
Yeah, and that's why I love the photo booth strip of photos. I love if you're going to do like a candy bar, dessert bar, something like that where you can take something home. But I think, you know, the chocolates that you make with your grandma are just such a great idea, and it's a really sweet moment. But it killed me to see all those candies left on the table. And so I'm here at the end of the night scooping all these candies in my bag, and I didn't want the bride to see that, you know, people just forget about it. Because when it's just something just very small, people just forget to take it. And we've done like coffee in the past in little burlap bags, which was really cute. We were actually handing those out as people left. But it's being really diligent about, you know, are they going to be a gift that you're going to hand out at the end of the night? Or are they going to be something that are going to be on the table? So I think, you know, that's one area that you can really save money in. Leading into a cash bar, that's another question. And, you know, if I'm going to provide alcohol, is it going to be beer and wine? Is it going to be hard alcohol? Are we going to have a signature drink? Is it going to be champagne throughout the night or a champagne toast? Lindsay, why don't you kind of talk about what you and Andrew did for alcohol and kind of your thought process behind that?
Ours was mostly just cost effective. We really wanted to have alcohol, like a signature drink, because we love whiskey and we really want to have old fashions and have that kind of Mad Men sort of feel for like our cocktail hour. But it was really a cost thing. It came down to what everybody pretty much likes: beer and wine and champagne. If we're going to pay for it, we also don't want people coming up to an open bar and taking shots. We didn't want it to be a madhouse and have to clean that mess up at the end of the night. Not that we thought our friends would be that crazy and disrespect us like that, but you know, it happens. There's alcohol involved. People tend to get crazy. So we kind of decided to tailor it back and say, okay, we like craft beer. Let's have a craft beer, some domestic beers, and some wine, and keep it simple. And I mean, if people really aren't happy with the fact that we paid for their alcohol for the night, then they can go to a bar. Yeah. Because, you know, it's a party and we just paid for all your beer and wine. So that should be plenty.
And your party favor.
Yeah. And you got a photo booth with some. I'm sounding like a huge cynic today. I don't, I didn't even mean to. To me, it was more about having a good time and not giving everybody the house. So right. I think beer and wine was plenty. And an open bar seemed like more hassle than it was worth.
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, when you're doing your budget and you're figuring out what you can afford and what your venue provides, and or your caterer, if you're doing an in-house, like a hotel, that they provide all the catering and the alcohol, is, you know, really budgeting in. There's some venues where they'll do a per person alcohol package, whether it's, you know, I think we've seen anywhere from $10 a person to, if you're doing top shelf, full open bar, to, you know, $30, $40 per person. So really taking that into account, because, you know, alcohol, especially hard alcohol, tends to get very pricey. And that's why I say, if you really, really want to do hard alcohol, think about just doing a signature cocktail. Or if it's a venue where you're providing your own alcohol, you know, maybe bringing in, you know, that type that you like, whether it's, you know, we're going to make, you know, margarita on the rocks, we're going to do Jack and Coke or rum and Cokes or whiskey sours or old fashioned, something that, you know, that you can kind of tailor the price. Cause if you have, a bartender or a catering service that's handling that, that it's per drink, it builds up pretty fast. And then you're like, whoa, we just spent $3,000 in alcohol and we budgeted for $1,000. And I think when people, not everybody, but I think sometimes people take advantage of what is available. So I think, you know, most times we just see the beer and wine, maybe champagne and maybe a signature cocktail. But, you know, my wedding, we had, we provided the beer and the wine and the champagne, and then there was alcohol to purchase. And so that's another aspect, because I just knew my family and our friends like to drink a lot. That bar bill would have been insane. So it's just really taking into consideration what it is. And I think now that we have companies like BevMo, Trader Joe's, that you can, and Costco. And I think with the new, you know, you can buy the hard alcohol at grocery stores now. And I think the pricing is so much more competitive now, where even some places you can return the wine that you don't fully consume.
Costco lets you return everything.
Yeah, which is great. So, you know, really figure out too, you know, the guests that you're inviting, are they wine drinkers? Are they beer drinkers? Or are they hard alcohol? So I think the next thing we're going to do is we have questions. So everybody's going to pick a question and we'll kind of put you on the spot. Morgan, we got a couple questions for you.
Yay.
So Lindsay, I'll let you pick out of the bowl of questions what you would like to answer.
Well, how do you feel about a plus one? Well, we kind of already talked about that. You know, it's not your day. And so, I mean, it's sort of at the discretion of the bride and groom. If they didn't invite that person, you should definitely take that up with them and see if it's feasible. I mean, if they're having a, you know, a small wedding and one person isn't like going to break the bank, that's a good thing. But if they're having a huge wedding and every person counts, then I would just respect them and kind of ask.
When does that invitation go out? I'm wondering, someone who's trying to check yes or no to a plus one, how long do they have to decide?
I say when you send those invitations out. I think my thing is general with 10 to 12 weeks. I know some, you know, when you go online, they say 8 weeks. But some of these vendors and venue need to have that final count 30 days before. So, and then if you get those people that do add a plus one, then you have that time to contact them. Or, you know, say maybe your guest count is lower than what you expected. Then you can call that person like, hey, you know, you are allowed to bring that plus one if it works with the bride and groom.
Yeah. And we had a couple last minute cancellations. So I kind of, at that point, I extended that invitation back out to the people who had asked for kind of extra. I said, is this person still want to come? Do you, you know, how about this other friend? Do you want to bring them? Feel free. We've got that extra space. It's already paid for. But but a lot of people with kids and things, you have months and months and months of notice. Our save the dates went out 10 months in advance or something like that. 9-10 months. So if you call us a month ahead of time or like, I couldn't find a babysitter, I don't know what to tell you. Like, yeah. That you've had months.
Kick rocks, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it's sort of disrespectful at, you know, within save the date time.
That's what I was getting at with the plus one. I was like, you know, as a guest, 10 weeks out, like, well, she might call. No, she's not going to call.
No.
And you have a plus zero. Just go enjoy the wedding.
Except plus
zero. Don't try to cram a guest in. Yeah.
And that's why I love the save the dates, because I say, as soon as you have your date set and you have a venue, send the save the date out. I was engaged for 18 months. We had a venue. I mean, we sent our save the dates out a year in advance because we knew we were getting married the first Friday of June and people go on vacation, you know, school's still in session. And back then, God, it makes it sound old, but people didn't get married on a Friday back then. Now it's more common, but we knew school was still in session. People, and 6 o'clock in Fedgeway, people, you know, coming up I-5, and it was, you know, a traffic jam. And so people just planned accordingly. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, save the dates are huge. So people know yes or no, they can't come as soon as possible. And then you follow up with your formal invitations later. So Morgan, do you want to answer your question?
Yes. My question is, do I have to have a wedding or color scheme? Shalom. Of course you do. I am super passionate about making sure you know who you are as a person and really finding out your identity, finding out like what really motivates me. And when you really discover your soul, I feel like, you must be ready to move on with your life and meet the love of your life. And what better way to celebrate it than have a beautiful ceremony? And like I was mentioning earlier, everyone's different. Everyone's special and unique, and everyone has their own special soul. And that doesn't mean there's a set constructed wedding. There's all different kinds of ways you can go about it to celebrate and mention to the whole world, hey, I'm taken and I am not ready to mingle no more, you know? And that's super exciting. So with planning your wedding and your color scheme, have as much fun as possible with it. And I really am a big believer in vision boards, whether you do that on your phone through Pinterest or whether you want to check out all the magazines and cut everything out and invite the girls over and have them cut out theirs too and bring in some wine and some crock pot chili and have a good old time with it. Have some Gilmore Girls playing on the background, you know, I ain't judging. So just have so much fun with it. I'm a huge believer in having that special day and your fabulous color scheme. So go for it, girl. And if you need help, you know, you can hit up Elegant Affairs anytime.
And I think, you know, Pinterest is great. I think just being really realistic on your Pinterest board, if there's a color scheme you like, or if you're like, oh, hey, Lori, you know, will you check out my Pinterest board? Have one theme or have separate boards. Like, okay, I've got a, you know, burlap and lace. I have a vintage board. I have a modern board. Don't put everything in together. So when you have other vendors looking at it, that we can kind of, you know, figure out what your vision is. But yes. I think if done right, Pinterest is a great way to start in getting ideas, so you can tell your vendors, I really like this, I don't like this, but here's kind of what I want, which is great.
I agree. And if just one last thing, if you're struggling with really figuring out what exactly you want and what is perfect for you, feel free to check out the Elegant Affairs blogs. We have all kinds of stuff to start from. And every Tuesday I post about bridal personality types, where you can really, really dig deep and find out, man, what does my soul yearn for? And it's a great way to take your first step. So yeah, have fun.
Yeah, that's one of our popular days. So everybody loves Personality Tuesday, we call it. So, and I think, you know, one question when you're planning your wedding, the one thing is, what you really want to do is making sure that at the end of the day, you're having a great day, it's everything you want and it's legal. What I mean by that is making sure you have your marriage license. Because believe it or not, we did a wedding about 2 years ago where the groom thought he could go get the marriage license himself without the bride. And they got married on a Saturday. They went on Monday as part of their honeymoon to go get their marriage license. And that's something that you can easily do. The biggest piece of advice, there's a 3-day waiting period in the state of Washington. Marriage license start at $64 based on your county. Now, most people now will take credit cards, but, you know, general rule of thumb, go on the website to wherever you're going to get your marriage license and figure out how much it is and what form of payment will they take. And the nice thing is now that, you know, it's not like when our parents and grandparents got married that, you know, there's no blood test anymore. It's you and your fiance going to the marriage department, as I call it. Usually in Pierce County, it's the Pierce County Annex. And you just have to bring your driver's license and each other, and you get to raise your right hand and swear that you're telling the truth. It's a 5-minute process. I say go on a Monday, Tuesday, or a Friday. Don't go on Wednesday because you get those people that totally forget about getting the marriage license and they want to make it legal on Saturday. So they go on Wednesday. Other things besides the marriage license, obviously you're going to need a banquet permit if you're at an outside venue that doesn't have in-house catering, that they provide that. And also most venues now require insurance. So make sure that when you're booking your venues that you know what type of insurance you need to book. And most times that's through your renter's insurance or your homeowner's policy. And it's not that expensive. I think the most we've seen is depending on the venue, like the Museum of Glass, for obvious reasons, you need a $2 million policy, which sounds like a lot, but when you pay for it, it's about $200 to $300 for that day. So if anything goes wrong, that you are insured for that. Finally, we're going to talk about tipping vendors. You know, do I tip? How much do I tip? Are tips accepted and encouraged? I say yes to everything. That's something too that when we meet with our clients, they always ask, you know, who do you tip? And my thing is, why not tip all your vendors? They are working extra hard and going, you know, beyond expectations for you. You know, what to tip? I think industry standard is what, 15 to 20%?
Oh, yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah. And I think too, it's really basing it on, you know, the service that you're providing with that client. And, you know, one thing we do with our clients, we say, you know, if you have any payments or gratuities that you want to pay your vendors that day, hand it to us in a sealed envelope. Cash is preferable, at least for when Elegant Affairs receives tips. I split it up between my whole team that's working that day. So it's just easy to divvy it out that way. But, you know, it always goes, you know, for me, thank yous go, you know, are the perfect thank you. But, you know, when you get that extra, you know, little gratuity at the end of the night, it's always very nice. But, you know, really thinking about your vendors and what they're doing. If you have somebody that's coming extra to set something up, or, you know, your DJ does an incredible job and, you know, getting people really encouraging to go on the dance floor, you know, your wedding planners, obviously with your catering, that's always included. In one of, they have a gratuity or a service tax that's included, and or both. But it's just really being conscientious about, you know, the service that you're providing. And I'm all about, you know, rewarding those people that, you know, are working extra hard on your big day. What are your thoughts on tipping, Kevin?
Well, I like the form of tip that I got from Lindsay and Lloyd, or Lindsay and Andrew, sorry.
We're both Lloyd now.
Yeah. The Lloyd clan. They know how much I like music, and like I mentioned earlier, I know how much they do too. So they presented me with a vinyl copy of DJ Shadow's first album, and I can't even really describe A, how good that album is, and B, how much it meant to me. Mm. You know, I mean, money would have been cool. I would be like, oh, thanks. I would like snuck it back to them somehow and not accepted right. It, but in that situation, but something like that was really heartfelt. So that was cool. But there's been plenty of just, hey, thank you. You're doing great.
Yeah.
Those kind of, you know, just to reassure, like, okay, you are having a good time. Nice. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you feel it's appropriate, tip your vendors and don't be afraid to.
Yeah. And you know, we love hugs. I love when people at the end of the night to say, especially from the moms, the brides, like, oh, you made my life just so much happier. I didn't have to do anything. And, you know, the thank yous at the end of the night. And then it's those follow-ups from those clients when they send you thank you cards. It's when you get flowers sent to you, which are always just, you know, a nice surprise. And then when you get those really nice reviews, I think that's really key for me because, you know, most of our business is referral-based. And so when you see, you know, hey, Lori and her team are great to work with, or Rachel's really great to work with, you know, that's, to me, that's almost more beneficial because we're going to be getting more clients because of those words. So, but, you know, I think, you know, gratuities, you know, really budget, put that part of your budget, because that's, I think sometimes people forget about adding those type of gratuities and taxes into your budget. But I want to thank you, Kevin, for joining us today, and Morgan for coming in, and thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And we'll put Kevin's information if you would love to book with him. I don't know why you wouldn't, but make sure you let us know what you'd like to hear about on our next podcast. And thank you so much for joining us. And Lindsay and Andrew, as always, it was a pleasure working with you guys.